Dr. Sadlick, are you ready to go?
Yeah, let's go ahead. Good afternoon, it's 12 o'clock. You're at the State of Arizona Naturopathic Physicians Medical Board. My name is Dr. Bruce Sadlick. Our board attorney is Miss Campbell, and our executive director is Miss Anthony. And roll call, please.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
And Dr. Popio is absent today. We have quorum.
Okay, we have quorum. We're going to move on to declarations of conflicts of interest. Dr. Rubin is recused from agenda item number 7. I don't haven't received anything else on conflicts of interest. So we'll roll ahead. We'll go into the civility statement. In accordance with the open meeting law, the board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out its business. Those violating this policy will be asked to modify their behavior and act civilly. If you cannot act civilly, we'll disconnect you from the call. Number 4, consent agenda. If everyone's gone through this, what I'd like to do is take 4A. Enroll that all the way through 4U, but I would need a second. I'll make the motion. I'll need a second motion on that.
I second the motion. This is Ruben.
Thank you, Dr. Ruben. And that will bring us up into
roll call, please.
Roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Number 5, review consideration and possible action regarding the following board cases. So let's go ahead. We'll do 5A first, and that would be case number 23-234, and that's with Michelle Nichols. And Ms. Anthony will give us a brief rundown.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, on May 18, 2023, the board was made aware a respondent entered into a plea agreement on 12/27/2022 regarding criminal case of the United States District Court, Eastern Division of Wisconsin, case number 20-22CR270. On May 5, 2023, the court issued a sentencing memorandum relating to the case. While residing in the state of Wisconsin between 2018 and 2022, respondent issued unauthorized prescriptions for controlled substances. Respondent did not and has never been licensed to practice naturopathic medicine in the state of Wisconsin and did not have prescribing rights. Respondent wrote the prescriptions and signed them using a former employee's name and DEA registration. Respondent issued these prescriptions without the knowledge or consent of the former employee. Based on the known facts, a consent agreement for voluntary license surrender was offered to respondent for her signature. Respondent signed and returned the consent agreement to the executive director on 5/24/2023. It is recommended the board accept the consent agreement for voluntary license surrender.
I'll make the motion that the board accept the consent agreement for voluntary.
This is Dr. Rubin. Sorry, I interrupted your flow. I apologize.
Oh, that's right. For I'll make the motion that we accept the consent agreement on case number 23-34, and that would be Dr. Nichols. I'll make the motion we accept the consent agreement.
This is Dr. Rubin. I second Dr. Sadlick's motion.
And roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
The motion carries.
All right. That takes us to 5B as in boy. And this is Miss Melissa and Tokaki, unlicensed case number 23-233. And this is an initial review. And Ms. Anthony will give us an overview.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this complaint came by way of a licensed naturopathic physician who practices medicine in Sedona, Arizona. The naturopathic physician contacted this board after receiving a medical records request from a woman calling herself a traditional naturopath. The records request was not honored because Ms. Polaki is not a licensed physician in the state of Arizona. According to the physician, the medical records were supplied to the patient directly. On May 17th, 2023, board staff received the complaint. A review of the internet at large, board staff revealed several websites using the credentials naturopath or descriptions that may lead the public to believe Ms. Tolaki is a licensed naturopathic physician in the state.
Is the is Ms. Tolaki on the line?
Yes, I am.
Okay. And is there some confusion as to what you're currently doing?
So my qualification is as a naturopath, and I have supplied a copy of my credentials and my transcripts. I have never used the title naturopathic physician or naturopathic doctor because I am not, and I have never wish to be associated with that title. It's not what I do. I use traditional naturopath to help differentiate. And anytime somebody comes to my office to see me, or virtually as well, they made very aware before any discussion continues that I am not a licensed naturopathic doctor. I am not a doctor of any way, shape, or form. And they can sign a consent form that says they acknowledge that and understand that, and I've provided copies of that as well. On my website, it does not state that I'm a naturopathic physician, but it does state the qualifications I do have, the certifications I hold, and the professional memberships I hold. In the complaint packet, I would like to note that it brought up a Dr. Melissa, who is an entirely separate person to myself. And I'm baffled to how that even was brought up, because we have different names, different states, different websites. So I was very concerned by that.
I'm going to I'll turn it over to my board members and they can discuss it with you further. Let me start, if I could, Dr. Rubin, with you, and then I'll work up on the roster.
Hi, this is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Sedelec, I was actually, I don't know that I needed to interview the respondent, Ms. Tolaki, but I was interested in maybe movement towards an executive session for legal advice.
Okay, that's a motion.
That is not a motion, but that's where I'm headed. I didn't know if you wanted to first move through the board.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Dr. Rubin, let me move through the other board members.
Okay.
Dr. Spatt.
Yeah, I would like to go to executive meeting as well, and regarding this case.
Okay, so you've made the second. So with that, Ms. Anthony would do roll call, and we'll go into executive session for legal advice.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries. Let me remind the board to please jump off of this when you're going onto the executive session line, and then come back onto this.
Okay. We'll see everyone in the executive session.
Hang tight, folks. We'll be right back.
I think we have everyone with us, Yale.
Okay, would you like me to take a roll call?
Yeah, it's 12:38. We're out of executive session. We're back into general session, and we'll do roll call.
Dr. Sadler?
Here.
Ms. Gowan?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
We have quorum.
All righty. So we are still on case number 22-233, and this is the initial interview. And Dr. Rubin, Dr. Spatt, would you like to get started and work up on the list?
Go ahead, Dr. Spatt. This is Dr. Rubin.
Okay. This is Dr. Spatt. Yes. Ms. Kolati, I'm sorry if I pronounce you wrong, your name wrong. My apology. So I just wondering, do you when you see your patient, the public member, what do you do? Just give me a brief. What exactly do you do for them?
Yes, sir. Firstly, I call them clients, not patients, because I'm not a medical practitioner. We talk about what their goals are for their health and what they would like to achieve. And I see my job as getting the obstacles to healing out of the way. So we identify anything such as lifestyle factors that could be improved. We look at diet, how their diet could be improved. For their better health. It's all about supporting their body to heal itself, and very much about education on what they can do for themselves. I don't offer medical treatment of any way, shape or form. I certainly don't offer to cure, diagnose, treat anything at all, but more to provide education around how they can improve their health through their own actions. I use flower essences to support the emotional health. Sometimes I might suggest a dietary supplement, and it's entirely up to them whether they do so or not. But they're made very well aware that, you know, I can't treat, I can only support their health and give them the education and knowledge. The idea is that they take on their own healing path and become more proactive in that rather than a passive recipient. And if I see something that I find concerning to the extent of my training, I have and will continue to always refer them back to their primary care provider because that's well beyond my domain to, you know, diagnose anything. But, you know, if the red flags come up, they're sent straight back to their primary care provider.
Okay, so you understand you're like a coaching type. So the other question I have is the, what is this MPI number that you have? Well, why are you applying for it? Well, for what reason?
Actually, another traditional naturopath suggested I do so. And that was back in February. Yeah, she suggested I apply for that.
You mean another naturopath like you or like us?
Trained in the U.S.
I'm sorry, again?
It's another naturopath. She recommended that I apply for that, but it's not something I've used.
Okay. Well, then the follow-up question is, because I know you're not using it, but I noticed that also there's a compound pharmacy that relate to that as well. Have you prescribed anything through that compound pharmacy?
A compounding pharmacy? I'm not associated with any compounding pharmacies.
Oh, I see. Okay. All right. That's all the question I have, Mr. Chairman.
Dr. Rubin.
Hey, this is Dr. Rubin. Is your website Elixir Natural Medicine?
No, my website is melissa-tolokai.com.
Gail, how did we get Melissa Tolokai, traditional naturopath, herbalist, nutritionist, on Elixir Natural Medicine?
So that just came up on a general Google search.
Did this require a login?
Say that again?
Did it require a login in order to get any content?
No.
Because in our board packet, it clearly, this is the Melissa Tolokai that we're talking with, but it's on elixirnaturalmedicine.com. And so, Ms. Tolokai, you have no knowledge of this website?
So my former website in Australia, which has been inactive for many years, was elixirnaturalmedicine.com.au.
Okay. I guess this HTTPS is melissa.tolokai.com, but the heading is Elixir Natural Medicine on our board packet.
Forgive me for interrupting. Elixir Natural Medicine is my trade name, which I've had for 10 years, which I originally registered back in Australia and have carried over here. If there is an issue with that as a trade name, I'm very happy to change it. I'm happy to adjust anything that I can to better improve, you know, communication of what I do and what I don't do.
And Dr. Rubin, this is Gail, if I may. I'd like to point you to the Arizona Secretary of State website. That's the Arizona Secretary of State website. Says Elixir Natural Medicine under her name. So she's registered that name in Arizona.
Okay. Why did you register that name, Ms. Tolokai?
Because it's not the name.
Go ahead.
Because it's the name I've had registered in Australia, and continue to operate under.
Are traditional naturopaths in Australia allowed to practice medicine?
We don't practice medicine, but we can use the word medicine in our trade names.
Okay, understood. What this board is trying to determine is if there's any confusion to the public that they would see you and consider you a licensed naturopathic physician. So words like registered might be confusing to the public. The term what's that?
Forgive me. Yes, I was, I'm just trying to think. I've provided it in the response, but I was registered as a traditional naturopath with one of the associations, and I did provide the certificate of that to show that. And the logo saying traditional registered naturopath is from their website. If that is confusing, I am so happy to remove it. I have no intention of that. And as I said before, that's why I'm very, very particular about sitting down with anyone that wants my services and before anything proceeds, making very sure they understand that I'm not a naturopathic physician and I do not provide medical services, but more along the line of education and coaching as my primary way of operating. You know, I'm here to uplift people into taking care of themselves rather than being seen as someone to do it for them.
What's the Naturopathic Medicine Institute?
That's a US body, and it has an association with the Australian Naturopathics Practitioner Association, which I was a professional member of until I relocated, and they had a reciprocal agreement that anybody who was a professionally qualified naturopath in Australia would receive membership, and I did provide evidence of my education and training to them and was granted membership.
Got it. I could see how that could be confusing to the public using that. Not that you're saying that you're a naturopathic physician, but seeing the word naturopathic followed by the word medicine and having you be without an explanation of what it is or where it is, I could see how that could be confounding to a patient and cause confusion. How come you had requested medical records?
I had a couple actually approached me asking for my help, and they wanted me to have their medical records. Now, one of the reasons I find that very helpful is, for me, I want to understand what medications they're taking and what their medical history is, not because I intend to provide medical services, but purely as a precaution and, to me, a duty of care to make sure that even from the point of diet, that I don't recommend something that might interact with a medication or with their health history. As an example, I mean, how could food interact with medication? You know, if it turned out someone was on warfarin, the last thing I want to do is say, hey, let's increase your intake of leafy green vegetables and vitamin K and not be aware that I could be potentially doing harm to them without their doctor, you know, adjusting their warfarin.
I understand. Dr. Sadalek, still Dr. Rubin, this is quite difficult. We have protected titles, and we also have a distinction, I think, by the World Health Organization that there's a difference between a licensed naturopathic physician and a registered traditional naturopath, which in a state like this, which actually has a board of medicine and does license individuals as licensed naturopathic physicians, it's difficult to navigate this, I have to say. There's I don't know, I'm done with my interview for now.
Okay. I have a couple suggestions, and let me hear from Dr. Campbell, and then I've got some suggestions to make. Dr. Campbell and Ms. Galvin, any comments?
No, just this is Dr. Campbell, just essential.
Ms. Galvin, any comments?
No, not at this time.
Okay.
This is Dr. Campbell. Sorry, I had myself on mute. With regard to your website, ma'am, do you have anything on there specifically about menopause and what you might do to help or aid a patient with something in relation to menopause?
Menopause is actually the primary thing I work with. I don't know your perspective, but I don't see it as an illness or a disease. And my primary goal with women going through menopause is to coach them, on traditional views of menopause, with it being rather than what the media prescribes as it being, you know, a time of us shriveling up and withering away and being useless. I bring in more traditional perspectives of it being a time of empowerment. So I very much work on the mindset, the emotions as we go through it, because for many women it's a time of grief as we lose our fertility. But in terms of treating it, it's not a disease. And most of the recommendations I do, which seem to help tremendously with women, are simply removing things like sugar and alcohol that are triggering things like hot flushes and night sweats. So it's very much an education and a supportive environment for that, rather than I'm going to give you this and it's going to fix it. Because I don't see that as being, from my perspective, that's not the way. That's just my approach to it, is that it's a very natural transition, and to support women through that emotionally and to take care of their lifestyle and diet, because there is so much we can do there to improve without the need for many women of needing to go to the lengths of interventions such as hormone therapy. But of course, there are always those that will need that support from a physician.
I see. I think overall, well, first of all, the underlying goal of the board is to protect the public interest. And there are, of course, laws and statutes that specifically outline particular titles that are not to be used under any circumstances. But also, the law continues to talk about how that there are words and combinations of words that can confuse the public with regard to what a person is and what a person is not professionally. And so all of these things the board has to consider, because for every person that is not licensed by the board, whether or not they have the professional acumen and professional responsibility and their goal is not to harm, there are other people who are. And so we have to simply differentiate by whether somebody is licensed by the board or they're not licensed by the board. And when they're not, then there are a lot of factors that we have to consider. And so that's where we are now. And so even though when we talk about the first thing that I do is I bring clients in and I sit them down and I tell them expressly that I don't treat or practice medicine. It's what happens out, even though you've done that, it's what happens after that with the patient. And then also what the public perception is after they leave and have conversations with other people, and then people who are scouring the internet looking for information and come across your details and their perception of what you are and what you aren't with regard to the state of Arizona, and which is where we're at, and the things that we have to consider and look at specific to our laws here in the state of Arizona. And so with that at the moment, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any other questions.
Okay. I'll make a suggestion to the board, and maybe we can try to draw closure. The word naturopathic registered, et cetera, I think is misleading to the public. I think it would be behoove you to simply say health coach, that type of verbiage, which is not sanctioned by the state. You're using a name, i.e., and you're using registered before it, and you have an NPI number. And I can see where the general public would be very confused by that. Subsequently, my thought process, and I'll get my feeling at the rest of the board, is you take out the word naturopathic. If you want to put registered health coach, that's fine. But you take out the word naturopathic from your literature and from your website.
I'm happy to do that, sir.
Dr. Spatt, Dr. Campbell, Ms. Gallen, thoughts, suggestions, Dr. Rubin, how you want that worded?
This is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Sedelik, were you saying take off the word naturopathic or the term naturopath?
I think just the word naturopath, because it gets very confusing when you're in this state. If you're in another state that doesn't have licensed naturopathic physicians, doctors, et cetera, then it's a different ballgame. But when you're in a state that's regulated with that word and with that title, it becomes very confusing to the public.
This is Dr. Rubin. I would agree. And would you agree that if somebody, and like most of our patients do, they go look up national provider identifiers, and if Ms. Tolokai is registered as a naturopath, which is what every licensed naturopath in this state, licensed by this board, is registered under, with the same taxonomy code, and that taxonomy code through the government says that it's a naturopath is somebody who diagnoses and treats, which clearly Ms. Tolokai has told us she's not diagnosing and treating, nor is she licensed to diagnose and treat in this state or in this country. Would you also suggest that she maybe change her taxonomy code or her specialty under the NPI database?
I think that's a great place to start. I don't have the taxonomy code, you know, in front of me opened up, but I'm sure there's something within that code for health coaching, nutrition coaching, et cetera.
Yeah. Ms. Tolokai, this board isn't able to give you legal advice, nor would we want to, but that may be something you talk to your attorney about, just maybe to keep you protected, since you're registered as a taxonomy code under diagnosing and treating medical conditions, which that's where some of our confusion's coming in too. Or not our confusion, but where a patient who would be a client of yours may get confused looking at how you registered yourself as somebody who can diagnose and treat, regardless of what you say. So that's part of what this board is wrestling with too.
Okay. I'd be very happy to remove the traditional naturopath from that. If that helps remove confusion, I have no problem doing that whatsoever.
So if anyone has a suggestion, what I'd like to do is I'd like to make a motion, and then for an openness for discussion, then the motion would be that the word naturopathic, et cetera, get removed from her website, give her 30 days to do so, health coach, whatever else she would like to do is basically within her paradigm. But the word naturopathic is removed from her website. Give her 30, 60 days, whatever the board like to do. That's my motion, or a discussion of a motion.
I second that motion.
Does anyone on the board want to make a more of a stipulation, clarification of the motion? If not, then we'll probably need to get a second.
Dr. Sadlick, this is Gail, excuse me. So when you're saying her website, but that term is scattered about through a lot of different websites associated with her, including the NPI. So are you specifying just her website, or are you having her, or you're wanting to have her do a clean sweep of the internet at large within 30 days? And if it's not done, then it comes back, or it gets referred to the Attorney General, or we do a cease and desist letter. So I need a little bit more clarification on what will happen if she does not comply.
Okay. I would, in my motion, that would be expunging as much as she has ability to from the internet, the word naturopath. Also, going back to the NPI and reclassifying herself, get off the naturopathic physicians NPI numbers. Those would be my two areas.
And if not completed within 30 days, then it comes back before the board, or do we automatically do a cease and desist?
I'm okay allowing her to have 60 days to do it, because it's so scattered throughout that it may take a little bit of time to expunge or at least remove most of it. But if it's not done within the 60-day calendar day, then I think at this phase it just goes to the Attorney General's office.
Well, and before, because she's being asked to make changes, this is Beth, she's being asked to make changes and she's seems willing to make those changes, I would suggest that in the event that Ms. Anthony believes that there are the issues with the changes that have or haven't been made, that it come back to the board if for a final review.
I'm fine with that clarification.
And so, Dr. Sadlick, you made the original motion. Dr. Spat, did you second that motion?
Yes.
Dr. Spat, are you okay with the case returning to the board in 60 days if the necessary changes have not been made?
Yes, ma'am.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
As far as the removal of the word naturopath, should I also be removing my diploma that says I have a advanced diploma of naturopathy? Am I allowed to share that qualification or not?
Where did you receive your diploma from?
That's an Australian diploma, sir.
You know, board members, I don't see a problem with her having a diploma, whether it's from the U.S. or wherever. My biggest problem is how deep this has gotten within the NPI numbers, registered, naturopathic, etc. If she has a diploma from Australia, I don't see an issue with it, but I'll need your feedback on that.
This is Dr. Rubin. I agree.
For Spad, I agree as well.
Do we need to have more discussion, or are we ready to, Miss Anthony, if you could read the motion again, and then we can come up with closure.
So, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, Dr. Salik, but the motion was you're going to give her 60 days to expunge anything she can from the internet at large, and she's going to change her NPI number for naturopath to something else. And if that's not done within 60 days, then it comes back before the board.
Correct.
Would you like me to do roll call?
Yes, please.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Ms. Gallen? Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spat?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? It appears we may have lost Ms. Gallen.
I think we still have quorum, if my account's right.
We do, right. Motion carries.
Motion carries. All right. Let's move on to number six. Review, consideration, and possible action application for medical license by exam. And this is Jordan Trapp, T-R-A-P-P. And Ms. Anthony will give us an overview.
Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is an application for medical license. The applicant graduated from Southwest College of Naturopathic Medicine, Nelson Oren University, on 12-17 of 2021. The applicant disclosed two DUI arrests. The one was in 2016. The second one was in 2021. And source documents confirm the disclosed arrests.
And has everyone read that? Is Jordan Trapp on the phone?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Can you explain to us what's been transpiring?
Yes. I had gotten a DUI right out of college in my undergraduate degree. And I was taking someone to the hospital actually when that occurred. And the most recent one, to be honest with you, I was just in a really bad mental place, and I was utilizing alcohol as a way to, I think, kind of cope with what I was going through. Not in the way that I needed alcohol ever. I don't think I have ever been dependent on it. But to the point where if I was having a drink, you know, it did what it does and gives you a hit of dopamine, and I started feeling better. And I think that that just kind of took hold of me at that time in my life. And I have since kind of grown from all of this. It's been a terrible 2 years. You know, I have experienced immense growth, and I don't have an excuse for anything that I've done, but all I can do is use my experience and the hardships that I've caused in my own life to prevent others from going down the road that I did, or stopping them before they make the mistakes that I did.
What therapeutics or what are you currently doing?
At this point, I'm just going to therapy. In the past year and a half, I actually left Arizona and I moved out to Washington for 8 months, and I was working with a physician out there. And, you know, that move really just brought a lot of clarity to my life. And I was pretty isolated out there, and I was just going to therapy and going to church, and I just brought on more coping mechanisms that I used to be great at, but I started running again, and I actually had, prior to you guys asking for it, had gotten an alcohol evaluation, because I did feel a little bit concerned. You know, I had the disappointment, the embarrassment, the how did I let this happen a second time feeling, and I just wanted to, you know, peace of mind, prove to myself that there was no alcohol problems per se. So I just went back to my roots and what I knew, and I started going to church again, and I started using yoga as a way to, you know, ground myself and meditate. And I really did put in the work in therapy and worked with my mental health. And I have recently actually gotten off of Prozac and Trazodone. So I personally am just in a better place completely. I'm not grateful, and I'm not proud, and I'm not thankful that any of this happened, but I do think that the person that it turned me into is a much more stable and much more competent and, you know, better person all around. So here we are.
What is your goal with your practice? Is your goal to return to Arizona? Is your goal to stay in Washington?
No, I actually moved back to Arizona 2 months ago now. I was working with Dr. Jennifer Havens prior to leaving, and she has invited me on board to work at her practice, Precision Integrative Oncology. So that's my intentions moving forward, should today go well, of course.
The concern that with we have, at least I do, with our job is to protect the public, make sure there's public safety, et cetera.
Of course.
And have you had a professional, either licensed PhD or licensed psychiatric review? Because this is your second DUI, and the second one was an extreme DUI.
I just have the provided alcohol review that was done per the court, and then I had her redo it again for you guys. So whatever was provided to you is what I have had. And that was also with 36 hours of alcohol education / treatment. And nothing further was needed on their end.
Okay, Jordan, I'm gonna ask my board members for their thoughts.
Okay.
Dr. Campbell, can I start with you?
Sure. Hi, Jordan. Thank you for coming before the board today. I know that we're discussing some things that aren't always easy to talk about, but yeah, it's necessary. When with regard to alcohol specifically, what would be a normal event if it occurred today where you went to a social gathering or went out to a bar, and there was alcohol there? How would you partake?
If I drink, which I don't really do much anymore, I'll have a club soda, or I have gotten comfortable with a glass or two of wine and then calling it. Obviously anything past that is just not a good decision-making capacity for me. And I had discussed that with my therapist prior to reintroducing wine into my life. So that's just where I'm at right now. I have given myself strict boundaries with the alcohol that I do consume, if I consume, and, you know, a cutoff time to go home.
And on an average week,
maybe two glasses of wine, if that. I'll have a glass sitting at home or something.
Okay, and if there was a telephone call that you were needed at the office, and you had just consumed one or two glasses of wine, what steps would you take with that? Would you feel that under those circumstances that you would be okay to drive and you would be okay to go to work and handle the issue? Or how would that work?
No, I would not get behind a vehicle or behind the wheel of a vehicle with any alcohol in my system ever again. I would refer to one of the other physicians if needed. And if we have an on-call phone, of course, at that time, I would not have a glass of wine.
And with regard to the stressors, the natural stressors that come as a result of being a physician, especially in an oncology type environment.
Of course.
How are you prepared to navigate the feelings and emotions that will most definitely come from that?
Honestly, I've been working in oncology for a long time. I was doing it in my undergraduate degree as well. The stressors of oncology aren't something that gets to me in the way that I would feel I would need to cope. And when I, if I do, I have come up with a pretty good daily routine at this point. It consists of journaling, meditating, and going to hot yoga practice. I also go on a run now if I need to release any, you know, emotions or anything like that. Just much more healthy ways of coping with the emotions that come in a day to day. The stressors of oncology in particular, I have been familiar with for a long time now, and they won't be a problem.
Now, if there was a situation where you had underwent some enormous stress, professional stress, and maybe stress in your personal life, and a friend invited you over for a girls' night on a Friday, and you started off with the intent of drinking one or two glasses of wine, which you mentioned that you'd set yourself as a limitation for, but your friend said, you know, you deserve to partake tonight. Why don't you just relax and let go? How would you handle that situation?
Two things. My friends are aware of the situation that occurred, and everyone's very respectful of the boundaries I've set for myself. And if I am ever in a high stress situation, I don't actually go out anymore. I come home and I just kind of feel it here and kind of breathe through it when I can. I know that, you know, obviously in the past I've let stressors impact my social life, and that's just not who I want to be anymore. It doesn't make me a good person, and it definitely won't make me a good doctor. So I've learned to cope with those things on my own at home, or by talking to my therapist or my mentor instead, because, you know, I've learned the patterns that I've created in my life, and it took me 2 years to unlearn them, but we're finally here.
Do you have a plan in place? Let's say in 2 months from now, there's a series of, we always hear about how things happen in threes as an example. Yeah. Let's say that things go sideways in a lot of ways and it enters your mind, you know what? Screw this. It's not worth it anymore. I'm just going to forget about my problems and go and revert back to some of my other things that I used to use to cope. Mm-hmm. What plan do you have in place at that point? Would there be anything that would enter your mind like, okay, right now I need to call somebody or I need to?
I have two friends that I confided in when I moved back to Arizona. Because I just said, you know, of course I've been in this situation twice. I was a little hesitant, not fearful. I just didn't want to fall into the same patterns that I was prior. So I have two friends that I honestly was like, if you notice me falling into my old patterns, you know, let me know. And at that, if I ever feel like I want to, is it okay if I call you? And both of them have said, yes, if I need to call them, they'll be there in a second. And my therapist also is honestly a godsend, and he's available whenever I need him. And I have a very good support system around me of people that do know, you know, my past and are not willing to let me budge or are willing to be an ear if I ever need.
I see. Okay. For right now, I believe that was all the questions that I had. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I'm done for now.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. Dr. Rubin?
Hey, it's Dr. Rubin. I just follow what Dr. Campbell said. Great interview. Testimonies understood. I really don't have anything to add at this time.
Dr. Spatt?
I just have a quick question for Jordan. When was the last time, how long have you actually stopped taking your antidepressant medication?
About a year now. I came off the antidepressants a year ago. And then I was taking trazodone as needed. I haven't taken it in about 6 months.
Oh, okay. So are you being followed up with, is it a psychiatrist or a family physician?
My therapist.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. I'm just wondering. Okay. That's all I have. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Is Ms. Gallen back on the line?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. Do you have questions for Jordan?
No, I don't. I think there's been some good questions asked.
Okay. There's a couple of choices, probably, you know, board members that we have. And Dr. Campbell's was on track with it too. I appreciate that. We could get a board approved professional consultation with either a psychologist, psychiatrist, and get their opinion so she can get her license. That may be behoove us. As we know, we're trying to just basically make it safe for the public. Dr. Campbell, that's more or less your area. If you feel that a psychological interview or psychological appointment would be helpful for us to get documentation.
Well, there were, and I'm sure what everyone was listening, there were a couple of flags that had come up that were kind of concerning. Essentially, when a physician, if you're licensed by this board and you get pulled over, and the public hears about that, it diminishes the integrity of the entire profession. And so, it's one of those things that the board has to be very cautious about, especially now, when we're aware of it. And we do appreciate you being open and honest with the board with regard to your past and the things that you're dealing with now. And so I understand that you've been in therapy, and how long have you been with the provider that you're with now?
I've been with my therapist for 5 years. I did see another therapist in Washington briefly just to get a different perspective. But he had the same opinion that Michael had, that I did not have an alcohol addiction or a drinking problem. I believe Michael said it was an outlier situation, but I have seen him for 5 years. And then, I just did the two alcohol abuse evaluations with the other, she was a licensed alcohol abuse counselor.
I see. And your current counselor is a master's level therapist with a license in Arizona, or?
Yes, he was previously licensed. He can send that in to you guys if necessary, but he's just working for a church now.
I see. And let me ask you this. How would you feel about setting an appointment with somebody who is actively licensed, just to talk with them, get an evaluation one-on-one, and have them simply write a letter to the board about what they think?
That would be fine. This has been a very long 2 years, and I'm just trying to finalize it, and I understand that you guys need that, but I've already done that. I have already sent all of this in, and I'm trying to put this part of my life to bed. But if you guys feel like you do need that, that's fine. I can assure you guys that this is never going to happen again. This has been a completely life-changing and eye-opening experience. Of course, whatever you guys need, but I can assure you guys that this is not who I want to be as a person or who I want to be as a physician, and I have completely turned around who I am and how I act in the past year and a half. And sure, if you guys do need that, I'm happy to do so.
Okay, thank you for that, Jordan. Mr. Chairman, essentially, you know, I don't necessarily believe that we need to have a full fitness for practice evaluation done on her. I'm trying to recall if I saw in the file if we received any documentation with regard to a recently dated letter from any practitioner or provider that has basically said that, you know, she's attended therapy, you know, before and or since the dates of the incident, and
I sent in two documents that stated that.
Okay, and they're recent documents?
Yep, the court-provided evaluator redid her evaluation a month ago, and my therapist wrote in on my behalf that I have been going to therapy since as well.
Okay, and so you plan on continuing to see somebody regularly?
I see him weekly.
Okay, all right. And Gail, to confirm, you did receive those documents?
Yes, Dr. Campbell, members of the board, in your packet, you will see a May 18th, 2023 assessment summary provided by Allison McDonald. It's probably the last page of the packet. And then I forwarded the email dated May 29th, 2023 from Mr. Donnelly from Spiritual Formation Society of Arizona. And that was dated May 29th.
Thank you. I found the one that you were referring to. And then off the top of your head, Gil, was there anything that wasn't favorable in those documents that we needed to be concerned about, or were they in favor of her licensure?
I'm sorry, Gail.
I was just going to say I don't feel comfortable answering that question.
Got it.
This is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Campbell, can I ask you a question? Since I'm unfamiliar with this part of medicine, but in Ms. McDonald's or Practitioner McDonald's assessment letter, it said that her assessment of Jordan Trapp is that she has a diagnosis of major depressive disorder, single episode, which I think I know what that means, but I'm not sure. In partial remission, that's concerning. If, you know, I work in oncology, so I know what partial remission means. It means not all the way. Based on her SASFI results, she is at low risk of substance abuse disorder, or she is at low risk of substance use disorder. What I'm unclear of is, one, what it really means to be at low risk of substance use disorder when looking to provide licensure for under this board for a naturopathic physician. And if there's, if substance use disorder is different than using a substance. And the reason I'm asking for some clarity is because in Mr. Donnelly's letter, he said that he had been counseling her since 2017, yet there was this egregious DUI within the context of when he had been seeing her, as soon as last year. And so for those reasons, I don't know if this, you think that these documents would be acceptable and those testimonies would be acceptable by this board for licensure for her to see patients.
With regard to the latter part of your question regarding seeing the gentleman, you know, even before and during the DUI incident, I completely concur with that. The first question with regard to partial remission or however it was worded generally means that we're all capable of doing anything at any time. And so we're never really fully 100% recovered when it comes to having severe emotional disorder or depressive issues. In other words, we're always, it's always possible that we could revert back to having an emotional disturbance or outbreak. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And so, and what about major depressive disorder, single episode? That just means that something happened once and that single episode is in partial remission and then given your answer?
Correct. He's identifying the DUI in question to that one incident and how it set off the events that led to the DUI.
Based on your expertise, notwithstanding the latter part of Dr. Trapp's testimony, emotional testimony, these documents that we have been provided by Ms. McDonald, or let me state, are these documents provided by Ms. McDonald, Mr. Donnelly, suggestions of fitness to practice naturopathic medicine licensed by this board in the state of Arizona?
Well, with regard to, honestly, with regard to that, that would be a question that I couldn't answer, because that when they wrote that up, you know, they didn't specify that exactly. However, with regard to you know, her fitness to practice, there's nothing in there that demonstrates any outward concern to me that she would have issues practicing, if that helps you.
So what I'm getting from your answer is that this didn't evaluate her ability to practice as a physician. I guess what I was saying is, do any of these letters suggest that she would, based on what she was evaluated for or what we're discussing here, does it appear that she may be at risk for, say, coming to work inebriated, or that she may not be able to, in oncology, we have certain discussions about alcohol. That, I mean, are these things that we would maybe want evaluated, especially when going into the world of oncology or just in the world of naturopathic medicine, to think, do you think that we need more of a fitness to practice medicine, or do you think that these, that because there's no concerns here, that just isn't a necessary step?
Well, with regard
I was just going to say, because, you know, I don't know. And my concern is that regardless of what we've been told, I don't know that Mr. Donnelly's counseling has been effective. If there was a DUI that was serious and cost a huge fine, you know, $4,600, 120 days in jail, like that is pretty big DUI.
And doctors, this is Beth. I would, and I know you've been talking about Pastor Donnelly's letter. I would suggest that you may want to take a good and careful look at the May 18th, 2023 letter from Allison McDonald. She is a licensed independent substance abuse counselor. That's what LISAC means. So her expertise is in substance abuse. And she concludes in her big middle paragraph that Jordan continues to engage with her therapist. which I'm presumably is Mr. Donnelly, where she has learned and implemented coping skills to manage stress and emotions as well. And then puts the, and then as Dr. Rubin pointed out, goes on to say that based on her SASE results, and SASE is a standard tool to evaluate substance use disorder. So you'll see that in all of these substance abuse assessments. That's what this is. This May 18, 2023. It's a little shorter than I usually see, but this is.
Well, no, I totally get that. And that's what I was trying to distinguish is what's the difference between substance abuse disorder and using substances, regardless of their disorder, there could be the tendency to use, which could then, because she did it again, she had another DUI last year, which put her in jail. And so I was trying to understand, because this is a brief letter and it doesn't really, it just says that she did something, but it didn't seem meaningful in terms of licensure. I didn't say, there wasn't something that said, I don't see any problems with licensure. And I thought getting that type of evaluation, regardless of the emotional state of Dr. Trapp, that's not what I'm concerned about. Patient care, licensure, this board, based on what Dr. Campbell had said previously when interviewing. And so this didn't seem robust to me. But that's what I'm asking, is if it is robust enough.
The circumstances with regard to past behavior and as a guide for future behavior, if you take a look at with the consideration for professional, and none of these incidents occurred when she was traveling to work, from work, anything like that. So there can't be that professional correlation to the events that took place. And so with regard to that, there would be no meat and potatoes for any practitioner to expand on that. And so at this point, I believe that, you know, while there is justification for concern, I do believe that the board I would feel comfortable if the board granted her permission to move forward with her licensure at this point, based on the wording and documentation that we have.
Thank you.
Dr. Spatt, your thoughts?
You know, I think everything has been said by Dr. Rubin, Dr. Campbell. I don't have any further question regarding this case.
Okay. Would you feel comfortable then issuing her a license to practice medicine? Ms. Gallen, your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm still kind of thinking it over. I think that I feel comfortable issuing it, but I need a couple more minutes to think about it.
All right.
You're going to be working with another physician, you mentioned?
Yes, I will. There will be two other physicians once one takes her board examinations and gets licensed.
Will you be working with a licensed person, not the one that's waiting for her board results, but the one you're going to be working with? Is she licensed by the Naturopathic Medical Board?
Yes, she is.
Okay.
Now, Dr. Trapp, the physician who you're going to work with, is she your friend? How did you get to know her?
She was actually my mentor as I was going through medical school. She is an integrative oncologist in Arizona, and that's how I met her. I moved out to Washington for a residency that didn't pan out to be what I wanted it to be, so she offered me to come home and work with her.
Now, Dr. Pfaff, since you get back from Washington, have you start doing rotation with this doctor that you talked about?
I've been shadowing with her. I've just been waiting to get licensed to be able to start working.
Okay. So how long have you been shadowing with this physician?
Overall or since I've been back?
Since you've been back.
I moved back 2 months ago. So 2 months ago.
Okay. All right.
So the way I see it, board members, and correct me if I'm wrong, is a couple ways that we could take this. One would be to have the physician she's going to work with within a 90-day period send us a letter that Dr. Trapp is on basically on track and is making progress. No issues have occurred. The other would be to have a independent medical examiner have her visit that may potentially slow her up in her process depending on the availability of an independent medical person for evaluation. Those are kind of the options where I'm looking at, and I'll need your guidance as to which, or if you don't feel any of them are needed.
Dr. Rubin, I don't know that the practitioner she works with is someone that can evaluate that. I don't know. I mean, if she has expertise in oncology, I don't know that she has expertise in what, or if they're even talking about private life or not. So I don't know that that would be necessary. If indeed, for me, just listening to Dr. Campbell's discussion and answers, during this interview process, as a valued member of our board and colleague herein, if he doesn't have any concerns, then I don't have any concerns. He holds the same, I think, just compass is pointed in the same moral direction as ours and holds the same values and virtues for those licensed by this board as all of us do, with mad respect to you, Dr. Campbell. And so because of that, and because of the suggestion to move forward with licensure, I am prepared to make a motion to grant licensure, to accept your application for licensure.
Okay, we have a motion with Dr. Rubin. Does anyone want to second that motion?
Dr. Campbell will second, and thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell. And at this phase, we'll do a roll call.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gowan?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries for license acceptance. Be careful, Jordan. If you need help, just always go and get a hold of the people you need, so to speak.
I will. Thank you guys so much. I really appreciate your time.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to next is review, consideration, and possible action regarding status of judicial review. Action filed by Colleen Huber, NMD, et cetera. And I make a motion for this that we move into executive session.
And Dr. Sadlick, is that a motion to go into executive session for legal advice under 38431.03A3 and to discuss or consult with the board's attorneys in order to consider its position and provide instructions regarding pending litigation under 32431.03A4.
That, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay.
Do you need a second motion on that or no?
A second and a vote, please.
Okay, I second that motion.
Okay. And roll call, please. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Ms. Gowan?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Okay, it's 1:46, and we'll meet everyone in an executive session.
Thank you.
Thanks. It looks like on my screen, mostly everybody's here. So it is 1:57 and we're back in the public session. I'll ask Ms. Anthony to do roll call for us, please.
Okay, Dr. Sandlin?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
I think she's not called back yet.
Okay.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
I'm here, but I'm recused.
Oh, we just want to do a head count.
We just want to do a head count. You're here.
Oh, yeah. Rubin is here.
Ms. Gallen, are you with us?
I don't see her number pop up yet.
We do have quorum.
Okay, so let's move ahead then. We'll move into number 8, which is the executive director report, and we'll start with 8A.
Did anyone have any questions relating to the report?
Nope.
Okay.
Anyone have any questions with 8A? Through G as in goat, budget, license, board cases under investigation, sunset, legislation, implementation, anything? Rules, okay.
Yeah, Gil, next month, do we have, how many cases do we have for next month, since we're on it?
Looks like we have 2 cases pending out there.
Okay, thank you. That's all I have.
Gail, how many cases do you currently have? Do you know offhand?
Just 2 cases pending right now.
Okay. All right. Anyone have any more comments on 8A through G? No? How about future agenda items? Anyone have any thoughts that they want on the agenda for July? No? Okay. And then we'll do call to the public. Any public member have any comments, suggestions? And we'll do a 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. That wraps call to the public. And it is 2 o'clock on the dot. And we can adjourn unless any board member has anything else they want to bring up. Okay, so it's 2 o'clock. We are adjourned.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Appreciate it.
Take care.
Okay.